Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Got my mojo working, but Jeff's gonna work on you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to explore what goes on at the end of a cell, a chromosome that helps expand the lifespan of the cell, but also protects you if you have any disease, and why you might be deficient, and how we can get more of it to protect you from cancer. Also, you heard me mention mitochondria. Well, today we're going to talk about collateral damage thanks to Big Pharma of our mitochondria from Dr. Gary Coles, Global Research, and how a five-day fasting diet miraculously slows aging, can prevent death from heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, University of Southern California. And researchers discovered molecule components of cinnamon to prevent colorectal cancer, University of Arizona. And how the FDA just approved OxyContin for children. Plus, my guest in the second part of our program will be Dr. Tony Bark. Dr. Bark is a board-certified physician, and we're going to talk about what you have not yet heard, HHS, which is Health and Human Services, what they're calling their Healthy People 2020 agenda. Sounds great. It isn't. It's a Trojan horse. Mandatory adult vaccines and a national vaccine policy to track and record every adult. No adult will be exempt, and you must get all the vaccines they demand or be punished. Think it's science fiction, some dystopian novel from George Orwell? No. It's in the works as we speak. We'll let you know about it. Also today, Roundup is now proven as an endocrine disruptor in a new study. Additionally, polio vaccines have been intentionally laced with a sterilizing hormone. This was discovered in Kenya, and the World Health Organization is behind it, Christina England. And the point of no return, climate change and the nightmares are already here. Eric Hothouse from Rolling Stone, what can we do about it? And there's a special species of idiot at large in the financial markets, Howard Kunstler, about these idiots. And the U.S. King dollar has no clothes. America's Toilet Paper Money by Matthias Chang from Future Fast Forward. Interesting read. I don't know if we'll have time today to talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying that money is why Congress is stalling autism vaccine cover-up. But if we have time, we will. And in the next day or two, I'm going to play you three little clips from John Oliver. One on chickens, but not about the chickens themselves. Rather, the chicken farmer. Never discuss the chicken farmer. You will, and you'll see what Big Pharma is putting them through. It's torturous. Also, we'll be looking at televangelists who have millions out there collectively in their congregations, and this whole concept of giving the wealth to the pasture so you can get wealth yourself. Does it work? We'll explore that, or he will. And also, we're going to look at how much food do we waste, and how better could that food be used for a lot of people who need it? So those are some things. Now, then we have a very unique program coming up. Please put it on your schedule of must pay attention. This is going to be for this coming Monday, because we're going to have a worldwide exclusive. You've heard me mentioned and even played little clips from Dr. William Thompson at the CDC, one of the top scientists on the vaccine study projects there. And it was his team who did a very detailed analysis and said that there was no connection between autism and that there were secret meetings, and in those secret meetings, they would put black bags. The scientist would bring black garbage bags where all the original documents had to be put and thrown away. But Dr. Thompson did not put his hard copies in the black bags. They didn't know that. And all this was captured by a Dr. Brian Hooker. Brian Hooker is a scientist. He's an independent vaccine risk investigator. But then he gave it all to a member of Congress. The member of Congress couldn't release it to the public. But he didn't get the only copies. On Monday, in an exclusive, we will read to you from the actual transcripts of tape phone conversations between the CDC whistleblower William Thompson and Brian Hooker, the actual names. We're going to name the names. We're going to tell you who lied, who committed crimes against humanity, who should be prosecuted, and the fact that it's not just a smoking gun, it is a raging fire, exclusively on this program. By the next day, it'll be worldwide news. So make a note of that. And for all the pro-vaccine people, including Om Pacifica and Mother Jones and The Nation magazine, I hope that you take the opportunity to listen and see how you've been supporting a public health measure, possibly for good intentions and good motives. I don't question that. But quite simply, you will see that you are on the wrong side of truth and history. And that'll be set clear on Monday. Let's begin. We have a lot to share today. Many people are aware, who have excruciating pain, that very few things can mitigate that pain, especially if it is bone tumors, if it is pancreatic cancer, or if it is some form of spinal injury. And they go to OxyContin, Oxy, O-X-Y, Contin, C-O-N-T-I-N. The trouble is, once you're on this, it can be extraordinarily addictive, very hard to get off of it, and because it will deal with the pain. According to Josh Murr from Anti-Media, quote, the infamously untrustworthy Food and Drug Administration has furthered its reputation as one of America's most beloved hypocrites with its latest motion. It was reported that the FDA has just approved OxyContin for children between the ages of 11 and 16. For those unfamiliar, OxyContin is an opiate-based pharmaceutical painkiller used to ease severe pain. Aside from being known for its powerful effects on users, it is also notorious for its widespread abuse. Its effects on the mind and body are strikingly similar to heroin, making it dangerously addictive. It typically contains between 40 to 160 milligrams of OxyContin or codeine, which lasts 12 hours thanks to its extended release. However, abusers generally crush the pills to inhale or inject them with a syringe by mixing it with water, thus receiving what amounts to a 12-hour dose instantly. And so it's really bad, and it kills people. And now they're going to allow it to be used in children. Oh, by the way, how many people did it kill? 16,651 people in 1 year alone died of opiate overdoses. And that is tremendous. Or let's put it another way. More Americans die every year from doctor-prescribed opiates than all heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine combined. And yet you don't hear a word about challenging its use. So that is important. Now, this is just the latest move which allows for the mass over-medication of America's youth. And I reported on this program just about 3 months ago that there are now 10,000 toddlers now prescribed amphetamine-based ADHD drugs in the United States. First, they do not have ADHD. It is not humanly possible. There is no biochemical measurement. There is no MMR measurement. There is no test in nature to determine that a toddler has ADHD. But if the toddler cries and then laughs, they can be called bipolar. Could you imagine the mind that would give a prescription to a completely non-mature immune system and neurological system where the circuitry of the brain is still being formed, and you give them something that passes the blood-brain barrier and can permanently damage them, and they're 10,000 toddlers. So that's how bad the dark side of American medicine has become. But the good side is that University of Arizona, the University of Arizona College of Pharmacy, have found that cinnamon is able to help protect your colon from cancer in this study. Quote, "This is a significant finding because colorectal cancer is aggressive and associated with poor prognosis. There's an urgent need to develop more effective strategies against the disease. Given cinnamon's important status as the third most consumed spice in the world, there's relatively little research on its potential health benefits." Not true. There's lots of studies on cinnamon. This person just wasn't aware of it. So in the peer-reviewed journal Cancer Prevention Research, they talked about the study. So use cinnamon every day. If you have colorectal cancer, you could use Burmese cinnamon, which is one of the most powerful. But if you want to help protect your body, if you are diabetic, cinnamon's phenomenal. If you have immune dysfunction, cinnamon's great. And if you want to prevent colorectal cancer, cinnamon also. Throw it in your smoothie, nothing else. From the University of Southern California, a major study funded by the National Institute of Aging and published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell Metabolism. Quote, "Researchers from the University of Southern California have developed a diet that creates the same health effects as long-term calorie restriction, such as fast, if followed for just 5 days a month. Quote, I think based upon the markers for aging and disease in humans, it has the potential to add a number of years of life, but more importantly, to have a major impact on diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and other age-related diseases." So says the lead researcher, Dr. Longo. Now, one of the diet's main advantages is that it makes the benefits of fasting available to more people. Quote, "Strict fasting is hard for people to stick to, and it can also be dangerous, so we developed a complex diet that triggers the same effects as fasting on the body." All right, so what are they doing? Because we all of us in the anti-aging field, and that's where I've spent my entire adult life, know that when you restrict calories properly, you actually extend the lifespan more than anything else. And for many, calorie restriction, 40 to 30% each day, has looked as the best bet for improving health outcomes during aging. And that's what they did here. And it improved brain health, it improved memory, and it's simply, it's about 1,100 calories, and it's simply what you might call the Mediterranean diet, but just a little lower calories. That's all it is. They're looking at, quote, replacing animal protein with vegetable protein, which is consistent with current mainstream health advice. And they want to lower the fat in the diet because there's too much bad fat. Good. We're right with you on both counts. All right. And then including more fruits and vegetables. Again, terrific. Now, so this is going out all over the world as new 5-day fasting, meaning you take 1 week a month and you simply get off the saturated fats like you would find in a steak or chicken, and you stop eating the high-dense caloric foods like ice cream or like candy bars. And a steak is very high in calories. When you add the fat and the meat together, you're dealing with probably around 1,200 to 1,600 calories per steak. And the buns loaded with calories. And the diet, or the sugar-laden sodas, lots of calories. So what they're saying, in effect, is eliminate all of these processed sugars and refined carbohydrates and animal proteins and animal fats. And miraculously, you're left with a diet that we've been talking about and many of you are using for a long time. So I'm glad to see that they finally discovered something that you've all been using for decades and around the world for thousands of years. But we're glad they did it. It just reconfirms the truth of our choices. Interesting, because in the retreat that's almost finished, and Eutrice Lead has showed up last night, and what a dynamic energy. If you saw her as I did the day she was released from the hospital, and then you saw her today, you would not even recognize as the same human being. And as she said to a group this morning, for 21 years, she was diagnosed as a special type of diabetes with multiple medications. She still couldn't bring her blood sugar down to the safe zones, even with all those medications. She has now been diagnosed with no diabetes and no medications. And that's aside from the cancer. And later today, she'll be getting her final report on her new cancer status, because she just had all of her MRIs and her x-rays and exams by her oncologist, and they're going to measure when she was given her death sentence in today. So we'll hear that hopefully within the next 48 hours, and I'll share that with you. In any case, one of the things that we mentioned is that a healthy diet is simply a diet that takes out everything that's bad. A healthy life is no different. And that leads me to another issue here. And I don't have time now, because I've been working for the last about 500 hours helping people through these retreats and now our final few days here for our sister station, WBAI, to pay some of its bills. And as one gentleman said to me this morning, he said, Gary, he said, I really like some of the programs I hear, but man, why can't the management understand that they got to give us our premiums? And I said, it's not they don't understand that. It's that the system itself that's been created can't do that efficiently or completely at this time, nor has it in a long time. We need an entirely new system and a new way of running a radio station. If we can do that, I'm sure that you and others will get your premiums. If not, and he said, he interrupted me, he said, if not, I'm not going to support it again. Well, if you're wondering why we have at one of the sister stations so little support, it's because someone forgot the audience. My suggestion, pay attention to the audience, because without them, you're not going to have any bills you can pay. In any case, we're doing this to pay the bills for the station. And we've made a major advance last week. I think it was $17,400 week before. So we're paying some of their bills. But they have $850,000, but we're making a dent. And I've asked for these bills to go specifically to all the other programs' premiums so we can get those out. In any case, I don't have a chance to read the Facebook very often, but sometimes I do. And I read a post last evening, and I'll read it to you, and then I'll address it, because I promised this person that I would address the issue that that she raised. Her name is Joyce, and she is talking about how when she watches me on PBS, quote, I love what Gary does on PBS fundraising specials with no holds barred, kick-ass health advice. And sure, tell the problems about bad food, then say what to eat. But in the Facebook, it seems like all what is wrong. And where are the do this to make the world a better place? And I said, yes, Joyce, you are missing something. and listen today at noon. So let's just go over to my Facebook page, because this is instructive for everyone. Now, I personally post about 100 posts a day, and I decide what to post based upon what I see being honestly and effectively addressed and what I see not being addressed. And in the world I live in, I see you can either be for something or against something. If you're the average person, even activists are frequently against something, but you ask them, what are you for? And that's why I said recently, I support all of the major efforts. I just don't support the activists, because I've seen personally one-on-one that there's a lot of unfortunate imbalance, either self-righteousness, the idea that they will not allow another point of view or another approach to a condition being resolved. So let's just take a look here. First up, we have Consciousness After Clinical Death, the biggest ever scientific study published. Southampton University. Scientists found evidence that awareness continues for at least several minutes after physical death. Ah, that opens up an enormous amount of thought. Remember, I've been saying that everything in life is an exchange of energy. You can either share something positive with someone or something negative or some degree. But when you share something positive, you're aligning yourself with a spiritual energy, being the right person in the right place at the right time with the right support system and the right idea. The lock unlocks and you open a door. Having the right idea in the right time at the right place, but without the right people in your life, and it doesn't, no matter how hard you try. Being at the right time, the right place with the right support system, but you're not the right person. You're still grappling with what's wrong in your life or trying to undo problems from your past or re-argue arguments 1,000 times. The lock doesn't open. We confuse the efforts to change something with, are we the instrument of change? And if so, can we rebalance ourselves? Because there's a difference between someone sitting in a concert hall and banging their violin versus playing it so we can appreciate it. Now, it's not just you. It has to be the people that you're trying to motivate. If you get people who don't want to change, they're actually going to feel threatened by your harmonizing. They'll attack you. And ask anyone in this audience who's trying to do good in their lives or for other people or help people, your friends, your family, or society, and sometimes the very people you're trying to motivate, the very people you're trying to inspire to a higher level of consciousness will be the people who attack you the most viciously, because they're against something. They're against the change that you're advocating. But why can't they be for that? Because that would mean they would have to be introspective and reflective of what doesn't work. So how do you keep yourself from ever changing? Become self-righteous. And when you're self-righteous, there are no discussions. There's no change, because you can't. You've codified yourself into the absoluteness, like the Crusaders, like the perpetrators of the Holocaust, like the Stalinists, the Maoists, like the Reagan Republicans, and supporting the Contras as if the Contras, what do you say, the Contras are like our freedom fighters. Well, okay, go down there and see who are the Contras. They are the former Somoza, who was the dictator, ran Nicaragua. They were his National Guard. They were terrorists. They were killers. And you're calling them now because you have an agenda. You're maintaining an anti-communist position, but in return, you're flooding a market with cocaine and you're giving them guns. Yet we didn't know that part of the story. So by not being enlightened, by not seeing the truth of something, then we're simply against freedom in a country because it doesn't align with our notion of what freedom is. But how many Americans say, I'm a patriot, I'm for freedom, I'm a constitutionalist, I'm for freedom? All right, well then, why are you voting for people that every act they make is the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security Act? They have over 27 different laws they passed, all of which restrict your freedoms. Well, then why would you support them and continue to vote for them? And that's almost all the people currently running. Now, the third-party candidates who truly are patriotic, who truly are for the Constitution, your Bill of Rights, and habeas corpus, we can't vote for them because we're not for that freedom. So you see, be very careful what you're against. Because if you spend your life just being against things, then all you see is the negative in everything. And then you double down. Everything is bad, the world is terrible, and everything out there is a threat. Hence, your time for reaction is split second, and generally always to the detriment of what you ultimately want to achieve. Whereas if you're for good health, then you're going to be proactive. You're going to eat right. You're going to think right. You're going to live right. You're going to make positive choices because you'll look at the consequences. Unless I know the cruelty to animals, how can I be a person interested in saving the water unless I see the water pollution and who caused it and how it got that way? How can I be an environmentalist and interested in helping our planet if I don't see the causes of our forest being destroyed, or the desertification of cities and countries like China, the great sandstorms in Arizona that we didn't have historically, but we do now regularly? How can I be for clean air if I'm not against gas hydrofracking? So I have to know what I'm going to oppose in order to know what I'm going to be supporting. So when I oppose death and that which leads to it, and disease, and when I'm opposed to what causes disease, I must be open and honest to the fact that we are manufacturing foods and chemicals and products by the tens of thousands, and then learning to sell them through propaganda, but not education and not honest education, to the American consumer. And by propagandizing food, it's just one step further to propagandizing a war, because they have weapons of mass destruction, which they did not have. But once you propagandize it and you sell people, then they become true believers. Then they're against what could happen if they get weapons of mass destruction, so they support a war of genocide. And that's how we had the blacks and Native Americans and women and minorities and the disadvantaged all ending up being marginalized and attacked because of true believers who didn't look at what they were for on a spiritual level, but what they were against on an ideological, political, or religious level. Hence, some of the most self-righteous, sanctimonious vileness is perpetrated by people who are the most supposedly religious, or the most politically correct, or the most ideologically proper, or the most socially conservative. So an objective mind simply looks and sees what they want and what they don't want and why. I could drink alcohol, I could eat fried chicken, I could eat pizzas, I could eat Wonder Bread, I could vote for a Republican, I could vote for a Democrat. But I won't, because once seeing the truth and sharing the truth, I then want to be for that which empowers, that which is ethical to all, moral to all, that honors all, that respects all life and exchanges the positive energy of that spirit, the very spiritual energy that now we have proven for the first time does not die with a body, because energy cannot die. No one in life has ever created pure energy. All we do is manipulate the existing life form that is there, whether it's the sperm and the egg creating a form of life from life, or whether it's the sun creating solar, or wind creating wind power, or splitting the atom. But you had to have energy to split the atom to create nuclear, or water over a dam creating hydroelectric. We have mistaken the use and manipulation of energy for the creation of it. We are born a perfect creative energy, but we misalign ourselves in life. And the more misaligned we are by our beliefs, our conditioning, our attitude, then one day we're so misaligned, we're so maladapted, we're so out of balance, we have a hard time understanding why we can be for life, people, right, sacredness of life, and therefore we cannot kill the other. We cannot demean the other. We cannot use them and subjugate them as if they're less because we do not respect them, so do away with them. If they're the poor, who cares? They don't deserve something. They're clearly lazy, and that's why they're poor. No. Why don't you take an honest look at how the poor became poor and our environment became denatured, and how we got global warming, and how we have genocide, and how we have refugees drowning because we created the crisis in Libya? not Gaddafi, we did. And now the refugees are fleeing and they're dying and being rejected from countries. Why can't we see what we created so we can be for harmonizing our energies to save these people and build communities for them to rebalance their lives instead of making them prisoners of the state in some form of encampment? So I believe that every day when I put stuff up on the radio or on the internet, on my Facebook, it is both to make people aware of the problems. If it's police brutality, just remember, before the internet, before about five major blogs that document this, there was just as much police brutality and police killing innocent people and unarmed people, but now we're seeing it. Only by us seeing it, only by us having to turn our eyes away and feel the pain of that suffering, of the person being tasered, beaten, shot, arrested falsely, will we understand, I was not aware of that. Now I can be for taking away the power of the police to do that. I was not aware of a vaccine-injured child. So when I have to watch a mother crying over her dead child, and I don't want to see that, it is a terror to my heart and eyes. But if I do not have the courage to see a mother crying, a child who has been injured or deformed or dead, then how can I be for freedom of choice and for freedom of truth in public health measures and ask them, are the vaccines safe and effective? If they're not, then I should not have to take them nor any child. If they are, then show me the proof. If you're telling me that these vitamins have no value, prove to me they do. If you're telling me that these drugs you're asking us to take, the chemotherapy, will save lives, show me the proof. I want to see it, because what I see are people who are dying at 500,000 plus per year using your chemotherapy, and yet you're not willing to see what it means to be for alternative therapy. A human being should look at all things non-judgmentally and then make their judgments based upon what they are, and then be for life, health, happiness, because you can't be healthy if you're not happy. And you can't change anyone's mind if you try to beat them into submission with your ideological righteousness. And that's why the vegetarian movement has been stunted by the fascist food fanatics who are intemperate to other people and insist that what they're doing is wrong and therefore punish them by mocking them, ridiculing them. That will get no one to convert. The same is true in all realms of life. So Joyce, go through the website and see how many wonderful pictures of animals loving people more than any website on the planet. And look at how happiness speeds the cure for depression. It's the third one in. And how the newly exposed methane threatens the future, because if we're not aware of global warming then we're not aware that the Arctic is releasing methane. And take a look also at war begets war refugees, the moral bankruptcy of Italy and NATO. NATO and Italy caused the war, and now when the refugees from that war, who were innocent victims, come on their shores, they're considered the enemy. Shouldn't you know that before you condemn them, before you put them, if you're Italian or any of the other countries, before you put them into a detention camp, no different than we did the Japanese. Yet we did not cause them to become vagrants and immigrants from their own home. So each one of these is meant to share an insight, and it does. And that's why it is the most looked at and sought after progressive website in the world. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with my guest. Please stay with us.
Shake it up!
like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. I realize that my engineers have been telling me that with each of my broadcasts now, that we have had saboteurs trying to take it down. And the good news is because of our IT people, we're able to maintain it. And though they are trying to create distortions, and these are not just regular people. These are very sophisticated people because the technology we're using is at the high end. That means it's the technology they're using. So the likelihood is it's some of the different groups that we are challenging on a regular basis. Please bear with us. This will happen from time to time. And when it does, understand it's not a technical glitch. It's intentional. And it will continue. Not angry about it, not upset about it, because when you go after the people we go after to show what is wrong with what they're doing and what could be right by changing it, they're not going to be happy about that. We have a lot to share with you. Let's go now to the polio vaccines being laced with sterilizing hormone discovered in Kenya. This is from Christina England. Quote, according to recent news reports, the Kenyan Conference of Catholic Bishops has decided to boycott the current polio vaccine program because they believe that the vaccine manufactured by the Sum Institute of India may contain estradiol, a derivative of the estrogen hormone, which is believed to cause infertility. Quote, in Kenya, vaccine suspension has taken its own local strain, aimed less at vaccines and vaccinating the individuals, and more likely to be used to stop people from being able to have children. That's what it says. So what they're doing, they're playing with the vaccines intentionally. So here is, they're sterilizing. In effect, they have the sterilizing hormone HCG, which now many different physicians have discovered in the vaccines at many different hospitals. So it couldn't be a fluke. It couldn't be a bad batch. It is systematic. So who supports all this? Well, the World Health Organization supports it. And what has been one of the aims? Well, population control. All right, it's completely legitimate to have a discussion about how we can deal with the population in the future. Do we have enough natural resources to feed people, to have a planet that can give resources to allow life to be sustainable? That's a legitimate discussion to have. What is not legitimate is to decide that there are a group of people, poor native people in any country that shouldn't exist, that their breed or their genetics is not on par with the rest, and therefore to sterilize them. We did it in the United States. Tens of thousands were sterilized, and now they're doing it elsewhere. And that is simply wrong. And that is why it should be discussed. Also, Roundup is an endocrine disruptor. And this is a new study. Quote, the glyphosate-based herbicide Roundup is an endocrine hormone disruptor in adult. In this one, they found it in male rats. The lowest dose tested, 10 milligrams per kilogram, was found to reduce levels of corticosterol, a steroid hormone produced in the adrenal glands. And so what it means is that if you're a male of any age, you could have an endocrine disruption in your body, or female. And that could be dangerous, because we now know that endocrine disruption can lead to cancer. It's just one more point of reference. Also, I found this of interest. This is from Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Here's what this says. This is from Booth Hubbard. It says, quote, Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. tells Newsmax that money is the reason Congress is delaying hearings on accusations that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention hid a link between mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine and autism. Quote, the pharmaceutical industry is a $1 trillion industry, Kennedy said in an exclusive interview. Quote, there are other $1 trillion industries, but not one that spends as much on Congress as it does. The pharmaceutical industry spends twice what the next biggest industry spends, which is oil and gas. They spend four times what defense and aeronautics spend. That kind of money, the money they spend in lobbying, buys a lot of influence. It's why Congress people are scared to go against them. There's just a lot of a career fear, which means that if you're a politician or you work for a politician, there is so much money that floods into your offices and campaigns, you don't want to go against that flow of money. So you do their bidding, and that's simply not ethical. But it happens every day, and that's why we have not had any honesty when it comes to the vaccines being dangerous. So now, we're having problems with getting our guest, and then we are going to go to a clip now that I think you will find interesting. This clip is from John Oliver, and it deals with a topic that, well, a lot of people don't think about and don't talk about, and we're going to hear about it right now. Please stay with us. This is on food waste in America with John Oliver.
Our main story tonight concerns food, or as plants and animals might call it, the afterlife. We love food in America, as you would know if you've ever turned on a television set.
IHOP all-you-can-eat pancakes are back.
Introducing all-you-can-eat wings only at Golden Corral.
Everyone's favorite endless shrimp is back.
People wait for this promotion all year long.
Riblets, riblets, riblets. Applebee's has riblets. All that you can eat now, riblets.
Sadness, sadness, sadness. Let food replace your sadness. Stuff riblets in that hole in your heart.
That's a catchy way to sell hog scraps hidden in barbecue sauce. In fact, celebrating America often goes hand in hand with celebrating its food. What's this actual commercial running right now?
What's more American than a cheeseburger? This cheeseburger, loaded with a hot dog and potato chips, in the hands of all-American model Samantha Hoops, in a hot tub, in a pickup truck, driven by an American bull rider, on an aircraft carrier, under the gaze of Lady Liberty, as she admires the most American thick burger, new at Carl's Jr. and Hardee's.
Wow! A cheeseburger with hot dog and potato chips. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the new Confederate flag. She's majestic. But this is not a story about the food we eat. It's a story about the food we don't eat, because there is a surprising amount of it.
A report by the Natural Resources Defense Council says that as much as 40% of all the food produced in the United States never gets eaten.
Americans throw away $165 billion worth of food every year. That's about 20 pounds per person every month.
Americans throw away enough food every year to fill 730 football stadiums.
Food waste is like the band Rascal Flatts. It can fill a surprising number of stadiums, even though many people consider it complete garbage. But between producers, sellers, and consumers, Americans are throwing out a third or more of our food. And the amount we throw out has increased by around 50% since the 1970s. At this rate, in 40 years, when you order pizza from Domino's, they'll just deliver it straight to the nearest dumpster. As they should, but that's not the point here. And if you think that this sounds bad, just wait until you see how it looks. Check out this waste dump in California's Salinas Valley.
We got a whole load, pretty much, of loose organic lettuce. You know, we've got spinach towards the back. Looks like it's perfectly fine, nothing wrong with it. We got some kale here. We got broccoli in the back as well. We have plenty of produce to make a salad here.
Oh, not just a salad. You could make a significantly better salad than the salads they actually sell at McDonald's, which look like the trimmings in Ronald McDonald's lawnmower mixed with Grimace ejaculate. And the thing is, watching all that food go from farm to not a table is awful for a bunch of reasons. First and most obviously, there are many people in this country who need that food. In 2013, nearly 50 million Americans lived in food insecure households, meaning that at some point in the year, they struggle to put enough food on the table. And the fact that we throw away a third of our food gets pretty alarming when you hear from some of those people.
That's hard. I'll go without food before my kids will.
Budget's down to the penny, and it's just not enough still.
It brings you to tears.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just hard. They're so young, and it's hard.
It is crazy that that is happening in a country with 730 football stadiums full of uneaten food. It's insane. But there are also other less obvious consequences to discarding food. For a start, we're wasting all the labour and natural resources that went into making it. And at a time when the landscape of California is shriveling up like a pumpkin in front of a house with a lazy dad, it seems especially unwise that farmers are pumping water into food that ends up being used as a garnish for landfills, because those landfills go on to cause problems of their own.
If you were to throw an apple core just out into the woods, it's not a big deal. The problem comes when all of that waste is aggregated and it decomposes without air in a landfill. That anaerobic condition is what creates methane, which is a greenhouse gas that's more than 20 times as potent as CO2 at trapping heat.
That's right. When we dump food into a landfill, we're essentially throwing a trash blanket over a flatulent food man and Dutch ovening the entire planet. And if you're thinking, but hold on, John, what if I'm asked all the long-term viability of life on Earth?
Hungry families, all the long-term viability of life on Earth.
Mr. Trump, thank you so much for taking the time.
Let me say, Mr. Trump, thank you so much for taking the time.
There is a selfish financial reason for you to care about this story too.
In our households, we're wasting somewhere between 15 and 20%
dropping one of the four bags, not bothering to pick it up.
Dropping one of the parking lot, just not bothering to pick it up.
That's essentially what we're doing.
That's not good.
Now, let's go to some positive and important information to finish up the remainder of our program today. The mitochondrial collateral damage thanks to Big Pharma. This is from Dr. Gary Coles, medical doctor from Global Research. Now, first, let me give you perspective. The mitochondria are the energy factories of our body. In effect, when you create energy to do anything at all, it is because the mitochondria releases energy, and the releasing of energy allows you to move a muscle, to think, and the largest amount of mitochondria are both in the brain and the heart. And that's, in fact, not only do you have your most mitochondria, you have more glucose used in your heart and brain than any other place in your body, upwards of about 30 to 40%. So it is very important to have healthy mitochondria, which is one of the reasons that as we age, we begin to, quote, slow down. We don't think as fast. We don't act as fast. Now, we could, but because of the choices we've made in our life up to that point, we can't. But we can change that. But what we have not paid attention to is what is the role of the pharmaceuticals, the drugs we're given in this mitochondria. We've never looked at it, but someone finally has. And this is two physicians, Dr. Stephen Pisaniak and Dr. Neustadt. Quote, mitochondrial damage is now understood to play a role in the wide range of seemingly unrelated disorders such as diabetes, Parkinson's, chronic fatigue syndrome, and non-alcoholic hepatitis. Recently has become known as iatrogenic, meaning physician or treatment-caused mitochondrial damage, and explains many adverse reactions from medications. All classes of psychotropic drugs, that's your psychiatric drugs, have been documented to damage mitochondria, as have statin medications, analgesic medications, and others. Wow. Every single antidepressant, every single ADHD drug, every single antipsychotic medication damages your mitochondria. And with your mitochondria damaged, you're not going to have the energy. Your organs won't have the energy. Well, this is according to Dr. Gary Coles. Quote, several years ago, I attended a conference that was sponsored by United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, an organization which seems to be a combination of patient advocacy groups and a funding organization for mitochondrial researchers. The conference centered entirely upon the rare congenital inherited forms of mitochondrial disorders that are first diagnosed in infancy, which comprise a small percentage of the cases of known mitochondrial disorders. Nothing was said by the presenters about the 90% of acquired forms of mitochondrial disorders, which could, of course, be prevented if knowledge of the root cause were transmitted to us physicians and patients. And during the Q&A, a mitochondrial research scientist in the audience got up and talked about a colleague of his that had written an academic paper that identified 72 commonly prescribed drugs that were mitochondrial poisons. He mentioned Pfizer's Lipitor and Zoloft as two examples. The author had not been able to get his paper published, and I found no evidence that it was ever published. No comments were forthcoming from the experts, and no one leading the conference. The discussion went back to the rare hereditary forms of the disease. Well, being naturally suspicious that the so-called experts, who may have professional or financial conflicts of interest, my curiosity was aroused. So I talked to the researcher who raised the obviously unwelcome question. He gave me his email address, but my several attempts to contact him by email failed to get any response. I later discovered that the researcher had at one time received research grants from Pfizer. Ever since that suspicious episode, I've maintained an interest in mitochondrial disorders, and since then I've discovered many articles in the basic scientific literature that have dealt with drug and vaccine-induced mitochondrial disorders, none of which ever gets published in the mainstream medical journals, at least those that take advertising money from pharmaceutical companies. So, here is a list of some of the conditions that you could get from having vaccines or pharmaceutical drugs interfering with your mitochondria, your energy factories. And by the way, you have anywhere from 200 to 2,000 mitochondria in a single somatic cell. Just imagine then how many you have. And so you have trillions of mitochondria. Diabetes, Huntington's disease, cancer including hepatitis C virus associated, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, bipolar, schizophrenia, aging, anxiety, non-alcoholic liver disease, cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis, sarcopenia, which is a muscle-wasting disease, exercise intolerance, fatigue, including chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and mycofascial pain, alcoholism medication induced from anti-abuse, and then it lists the drugs that cause it. And these are the drugs people are taking. For example, the most common drugs taken for, let's say, Alzheimer's can lead to Alzheimer's mitochondrial dysfunction. So the drugs we take, for example, the Andreomycin for cancer can destroy the mitochondria. And what is it that cancer patients don't have? They don't have energy. Hence, the very drugs we take could be causing the disease to get worse, exacerbate. Mood stabilizers like lithium, mitochondrial destroyers. Same with Parkinson's. And then what is a mitochondrial destroyer in a vaccine? Mercury, aluminum, and ethylene glycol in these vaccines. And that destroys the mitochondria. And what do we see in teenagers who've been injured? Fatigue, debilitating fatigue. They could have been athletic. They could have been a sports star. Now they're homebound frequently. They're in wheelchairs. They're in beds. They're wasting away. They have no energy because of the mitochondria. So now, here is the takeaway message of this. We have a nation massively suffering from fatigue. And we have never looked at the medications we're taking as contributing. But when you look at the actual science, you'll see that all these medications contribute to fatigue. And when you look with people who've got depression or some form of mental condition, they always seem to be in this fog, this kind of low energy kind of state of mind. And now we know, as the doctor said, who did the research and wrote the papers, every single psychiatric drug causes mitochondria dysfunction. And you also see people with heart conditions who take the drugs end up with fatigue. So, what do we do when we have fatigue? We drink caffeine. We eat sugar. It'll give us a temporary boost, but it's destructive, very destructive way to get a boost. You know, not good at all. And then that, in turn, depletes our natural mitochondria, exhausts our adrenal glands, and then we end up with chronic fatigue syndrome, which, by the way, for decades was denied as being real. So if your physician or pharmacist really cares about you, they should mention to you, are there any other ways of approaching your condition except for the medications they would routinely and mindlessly give you? And will they tell you that it will cause your mitochondria and hence your energy, the energy of your heart, which is going to be diminished, which puts you at a risk of heart attack, the diminishment of energy of the brain, which means you're going to suffer from brain fog and brain fatigue, the energy of your musculature, so you won't be vital and get up and exercise because you just won't have the energy? Do they warn you of this? And do they tell you that things such as coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, ginkgo biloba, ginseng is Panax ginseng, glutamine, D-ribose, vitamin C, bilberry concentrate, pomegranate concentrate, papaya concentrate are all good for the mitochondria and help it. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.
This is Pete.